Good morning. We will tend to God's word. But as we do that, I'll just give the musicians a moment or two. We're in Ephesians chapter 4, and it's page 1175. Ephesians chapter 4, page 1175. And we'll be reading verses 1 to 16. Okay. All right, let's go for it. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does ascended mean except that he descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by the very wind, by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is, Christ. For from him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love, as each part does its work. This is God's word. Amen.
Thanks, Patrick. Let me welcome you again. My name is Luke. I'm one of the leaders of this local church, along with Patrick and Gareth, who have led us so helpfully this morning. It feels a little bit sleepy in here. I think perhaps we're feeling the effects of our Christmas meals still, or perhaps it's just all the travel and the family that we've seen, and we're all a bit tired. But this is God's word to us. This is the most exciting thing we could be doing. This is our verse for the year, for 2018. You can pick up one of these cards afterwards at the back. And I think this could be a really significant thing as we move forward together as a church family. So can I just invite you to put all the other thoughts away to one side, put them in a cabinet, lock them away, you can unlock it later. Let's focus our minds and hear what God has to say to us this morning. Let's pray, ask for his help to do that. Father in heaven, we praise you for your word. We thank you for the gift of your word. We thank you that you've given us your spirit by whom we can understand what you have to say to us this morning. So help us to engage with what we hear. Please would you teach us, transform us, change us individually and as a church family so that we might put you on display more clearly. In Jesus' name, amen. Now today is New Year's Eve. You probably knew that. Tomorrow is a new year, 2018. I'm not particularly a fan of New Year's resolutions, but it is a good time, I think, to look back and to look forward and to consider what we might do differently, what we might do better in the years and the months ahead. And new goals to focus on, new things to work towards. Now, a very common New Year's resolution is to go to the gym, to strengthen your body. Nikki on the back row is thinking, okay, yeah. I know Nikki loves to go to the gym, but she's been slack recently, so she tells me. So this has become a name and shame thing. I'm sorry, Nikki. That's not in my notes. I just saw you and I thought, I've got to say something. But anyway, perhaps Nikki's going to go back to the gym this year. Perhaps you're thinking, yeah, that's what I'm going to do this year. I need to strengthen my body again. I wonder how many gym memberships are taken out in the first weeks of January and then forgotten about for the rest of the year. Well, as a church family, on the cusp of a new year, our plan for 2018 is we're going to go to the gym. Now, perhaps that fills you with dread, but don't worry. I'm not talking about physical fitness, but actually we're talking about spiritual strength. That's our focus. That's our concern together in the year ahead. God's people, us, are described as a body. Look at verse 12, because look at the aim. What's the aim in verse 12? That the body of Christ may be built up. That's why we've got a weight there on the screen. That's the picture. The picture is someone going to the gym and the muscles becoming strong. A body that's weak being built up and strengthened and matured. Jesus is at work through his body so that us, his church, are strengthened. Now, if a child doesn't grow up, that's a problem. If a child has stunted growth, if they don't develop as they should, that's an issue. It is right for a body to continue to grow. And that's going to be our focus as a local church body in 2018. Silver Street Community Church is just over 2 years old. And a bit like a gangly teenager, we've shot up. Who else can I insult? Isaac, stand up. Look at Isaac, right? Recently he's shot up. Look how tall and how skinny he is. This is going to be fun. None of you are safe today. But Isaac has shot up quickly. And by God's grace, that's what we've seen in the last couple of years. We've seen that actually, maybe not today because lots of people are still away, but in general on Sunday mornings there are loads more people here than there were 2 years ago when we started. And praise the Lord for that. That is his work in us and through us. And we want to pray that God continues to add people to us. But just like Isaac, or a gangly teenager like him, someone who has shot up also needs to fill out. We need to strengthen and mature. It's right that we grow in that way. Picture an Olympic athlete. They're in the final of their gymnastics event. Their body is in peak physical condition. Muscles have been toned and fine-tuned over years of practice. And now, in that moment, each part of the body is working together in perfect harmony for that one performance. That's the end goal. That's where we want to get to. A strong body working together in harmony. But go back in time 4 years, and that same Olympic athlete is in their bedroom. Their body looks nothing like it will. But on the wall are two posters. On the first poster is a picture of the ideal body. A picture of the perfect body for their particular event. And every morning the athlete wakes up and looks at the poster and sets their focus on that goal. The other poster is a calendar. And scribbled onto the calendar is the training plan. These are the steps that the athlete's going to take to achieve the goal. This is the hard work that the athlete's going to put in day after day, morning after morning, so that they might be built up, so their body will be strengthened and working together in perfect harmony. The training goal and the training plan. And as together we consider what it will look like to be built up in 2018, that's what we're going to look at. We're going to look at the training goal and then the training plan. So the training goal, what's the aim? Well, we've already seen in verse 12 that the aim of the church is to be built up. But then we get some more detail in verse 13. Read verse 13 with me. Let's start in verse 12. To equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. There are two key words in there, unity and maturity. The first part of being built up is unity. to be together, to be in harmony. Now, to be united, you have to be united around something. So we say things like, they're united in their fight against injustice. Or they're united in their love of coffee. They have something in common. You can't be united unless you've got something to be united around. And unity in the church means being one in Jesus. Those of us who are here this morning are very different in lots of ways. But we are one in Jesus. But look closer at verse 13. Look at verse 13. The goal is unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. Those two things. The thing that unites us is our knowledge of Jesus as the Son of God and our trust of Jesus as Saviour. And that means that our relationship with other Christians is completely different from our friendship with people who aren't Christians. So my our neighbours, who live two doors down, our Muslim neighbours, we love them. They're great neighbours. They're good friends. The kids often come knocking on the door to say hi. Quite often they're also bringing food, which is always the way to my heart, so I'm happy with that. But they're good friends. We get on very well with them. We've got lots in common. We live in the same area. We've got kids in the same school. We're a similar age, kind of. She is, anyway. So there's lots that we've got in common. But we will never have this same unity. We will never have this kind of relationship that's being talked about here, because they don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God and they're not trusting Jesus as their Saviour. I'm sure all of us have had that peculiar experience where we meet a Christian for the first time and immediately there's a connection. Why? It's because we're all part of this same body. You might be a finger and I might be a toe, but we're all united in the same thing. We're one in Jesus. We're united by our shared experience of the cross of Jesus. Back in chapter 2, Paul describes the wonders of the cross. As Jesus died, he was taking a sledgehammer to some walls. As Jesus died, he was breaking down the barrier that separates me from God as he dealt with the problem of my sin. He paid the price, he paid the punishment, so that I might be forgiven. And if you're not yet part of Christ's body, then this is how you become part of him. This is how you join into this great body that we're talking about, by putting your faith in the Jesus who died to break down the barrier between us and God. But as well as smashing down that barrier, he also smashes down the walls of hostility between Christians who otherwise would not get on. I'm sure there are some of us this morning who, if it wasn't for our union in Christ, we would be enemies, or at least we wouldn't be friends. There's a lot that separates us. And yet, actually, what Jesus does is he smashes down the barrier that separates me from God and the barriers that separate us from each other. We are one in Jesus. As we, as individuals, come, if you picture the scene of coming to the foot of the cross, and as we come to the foot of the cross, thank you, Patrick.
All right.
There you go. Just a bit of a spillage. Not many of you noticed that spillage, did you?
Yes, no. We did.
Okay. Some of you didn't. you have to forgive my voice in it. But picture the scene, okay? Picture the scene. As individuals, we are coming to the foot of the cross. And as we draw near to the cross, you look around your shoulders and you see that there are loads of other people doing exactly the same thing. At the foot of the cross, we are united in Jesus. And unity is crucial. Even in the hours leading up to the cross, what was on Jesus' mind? Well, he prays. And he prays for the unity of his people. And one of the reasons that unity is so important is it because it reflects the character of God. Look at verse 4. We don't have time to look in any great detail, but just read verse 4 to 6 with me. It says this: there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Did you notice how each person of the Trinity is mentioned there? Father, Son and Spirit. And at the same time, we're told there is one God. God is three and one. There is unity in the Trinity. And so as God's people live together in loving unity, it reflects what he is like. It makes him known to the watching world. You see, this desire that we have in 2018 to grow in strength as a church family is not an inward-looking desire. It's not a selfish thing. The reason that we want to grow and mature is so that we better put Jesus on display to the community that he has placed us in. It is an outward-looking thing, not just an inward-looking thing. And as the body of Christ is built up, it grows in unity. Now, one of the things that I'm deeply grateful to God for here at Silver Street is our growing unity across our growing diversity. Did you know, amongst the people who regularly come here, there are over 30, more like 35 different nationalities? Isn't that a wonderful thing? And it shows that actually it doesn't matter where we're from, it doesn't matter the colour of our skin, it doesn't matter our background or who we are or what we've done in the past. If we're coming through Jesus, we are built up, united in him, and that shows that Jesus is doing something in us and through us. We're not individuals on a lonely journey. We're a body moving together. So unity, that's the goal, unity in Jesus. But also maturity. Maturity means becoming like Jesus. Look at the second part of verse 13. Let's read it all. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Maturity means growing into the family likeness. We spent some time with some family over Christmas time in the last week. And people were commenting on how Zach, my little boy, is beginning to look like my brother. Others say that he looks like my dad. Some say he looks like me. But as children grow up, they tend to grow more and more to look like the family that they're a part of. The lads on the back row are looking at each other in horror there. So, all right, Seth, you might not lose your hair. It's fine. But that's true, isn't it? Often, actually, as children grow up, they become to look more and more like the families that they're a part of. And here's the wonderful promise. If you're part of Jesus' church, when you grow up, you'll look like Jesus. And as we as a church family grow up, we'll look like Jesus. The training goal is to be fully like Christ. The closer we walk with him, the more we are built up to become like him. The more we are built up, the better we put him on display. Maturity is key because it brings glory to Jesus. And it also protects us from being blown off course. Look at verse 14. It says, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. In a sea storm, would you rather be a dinghy or a ocean liner? An inflatable dinghy gets blown about, battered by the breeze, but an ocean liner sets a steady course. And so as we as a church family grow to become like Jesus, we will grow to become consistent and steady. We'll have a firm foundation. We won't be up and down and all over the place. When false teaching comes along, we'll be able to spot it and reject it. We won't be easily swayed by fads and trends. We won't be looking out for the new and the snazzy, but we'll be content with the familiar story of the cross. The sign of a healthy church is not necessarily being fashionable, but faithful. A church is built up, not by doing new things, but by doing the main things. A mature church is not one that's influenced by the latest book, but by the old book, the Bible. This is the training goal. This is what we're working towards as a church family. Unity and maturity. A body that's been to the gym. Built up. That's the training goal, but how are we going to get there? How are we going to make our way towards this goal, this poster that we've got on the wall? Well, the other poster tells us how. How do we go from being thin and gangly to being strong and mature? Well, just like the athlete with that poster setting out where to go, Paul sets out for us what it will look like to go to the spiritual gym. And again, there are two main things. Christ's body is built up as people teach and as people serve. First, as people teach. Now, we've just had a season where we give gifts to those that we love. And the risen and ascended Lord Jesus also gives gifts to the people that he loves. Look at verse 8. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. Verse 11. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. There are different kinds of gifts that you give at Christmas time. Some of them are kind of token gifts. Some of them are joke gifts. And other gifts have a really important purpose. They serve a crucial purpose. And Christ's gifts, the gifts that Jesus gives us, they're not just a token of his love, but they have a particular purpose. Their purpose is the building up of the church, his body. What is the gift that Jesus gives? The ascended Jesus gives the gift of Bible teachers. That's the thing that all of the ones in the list have in common. So the apostles. The apostles are those who have seen the risen Lord Jesus and have been sent by the risen Lord Jesus with his authority. So in that sense, there are no apostles around today, although we still benefit from their inspired writings, which we have for us in the Bible. The prophets. That refers to New Testament prophets. These were people who, on occasion, would be inspired to faithfully speak God's word as he revealed it to them. This seems to have happened before the completion of the scriptures, which we now have. And so again, in that sense, there aren't any prophets around today. Evangelists. Evangelists are those who proclaim the good news of the gospel, particularly to those who don't yet know it. They are people who go out looking for the sheep that are outside of the flock and bring them in. Pastors and teachers. In the original language, really, those two words are describing one job. Really, it's pastor teachers. These are shepherds whose focus is primarily not just for those outside of the flock, but for those who are already in the flock of a local church. How do they care for the sheep? By teaching in various forms. By bringing God's word to bear into people's lives. Whether that be from the front in a sermon that's preached, or whether that be one-to-one in someone's house or in a Bible study, pastor teachers care for the flock as they bring God's word to bear to them. But can you see how this whole list of names is all about teaching the truth of God? This is the training plan. This is how the body is built, as God's word is taught by those who are gifted and set apart to teach it. Isn't Jesus kind in giving us this? That's a generous gift. He doesn't just give us his word, he also gives his church people who can teach his word. And as people teach, his body is built up. Very soon I'm going to have to start writing thank you cards for the various things that people gave me over Christmas time. Saying thank you is the right response when someone gives you a gift. And so we should be grateful as a church family for those he has given to us to teach God's word. And I know that's kind of awkward because I'm the one right now standing up in front of you teaching God's word. But I'm not just talking about me. I'm really grateful to God for the gifts that he's given many of us in this church family in different contexts to teach God's word. I'm thankful for the people who teach in minis, like it's happening now, and on a Friday night, and one-to-one as you read the Bible to each other. We should be grateful for those who teach God's word. But as well as being thankful for a gift, let's make the use of it. My mum always gives us really useful gifts. Kind of useful tends to be the same as boring, right? But anyway, I'm very grateful for them, of course. But anyway, they're really useful gifts. This year we got a cool bag. I mean, that's exactly what I asked Santa for. But anyway, it's what we needed, okay? And I got a cool bag. It was a useful gift. But that gift would be pointless if we went home, put it in a high cupboard and forgot about it. I have to make use of it. And it's the same for us. God has given us the gift of his word and those who can teach his word. And so actually, let's listen and respond when his word is taught. I understand that we often come to church with a mix of motives and with various reasons. We often come on a Sunday morning with our minds full or our hearts aching. But let's make an effort this year to carefully listen and prayerfully respond to what we hear. To apply it to our hearts and to our lives, to let it take root. And perhaps this new year is a chance for some of us to look at our weekly rhythm. Are you able to rearrange things or to make some compromises so that you can stay on beyond the normal time here to the cafe time after the church, after the lunch? In the next term ahead, we're going to use those cafe times to dig deeper into God's word and have a particular focused study time together, because as people teach, God's church, his body, is built up. If you don't come along to a grow group on Tuesday evenings, can I ask you why not? I know that for some of us it just really isn't possible, but for others of us it's just not a priority. We don't put on these extra things just to appear a bit more busy. The elders, the shepherds of this flock, are deeply convinced that as we teach God's word, as we spend more time meeting with Jesus, the more we will grow in unity and maturity. Tuesday evening is not just a kind of add-on for those who are super keen. It is a core part of church life. And so if Silver Street is your body, you really should be there. The church is built up as people teach, but also as people serve. Did you notice the purpose of Bible teachers? What are they doing in verse 12? They are equipping Christ's people for works of service. The society that we live in encourages us to be consumers. You can even go to the supermarket and buy vegetables that have already been chopped up for you. In fact, you don't even have to go there. You can order them to deliver it for you as well. You just don't have to do anything. We're consumers. And the danger for us is that we carry that attitude into church. We come and we consume. We pay someone to do the ministry for us. But if I'm doing all the ministry, I'm not doing my job right. Because my job is to equip you for works of service. I got a book for Christmas about how the SAS came into being in World War II. It's very interesting. And I've just read a part about where one of the officers is killed. And so one of the soldiers who's on the front line is taken out from frontline missions and put in charge of training the new recruits. He doesn't enjoy it, but that's his job now. He trains those who will then be on the front line. And that's my role. Every one of us here this morning is on our own different front line. It's unique. But we each have work to do. And for the body of Christ to grow, each of us needs to come to church not to consume, but to serve. For the ship to move forward, we need to have all hands on deck. You might think, okay, sure, but what will it mean? What does it look like for me to be involved in works of service? I think it's anything that serves to build up the body of Christ. For all of us, it will mean working hard at unity. Look at verse 2. Look at verse 2. This is what it will look like to be involved in works of service. Are you still with me? Anyone still with me?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Three hands went up. That's good. Right, okay. Look at verse 2. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Unity takes effort. By his Spirit, God has given us a unique unity that we've talked about. We are one in Jesus. But maintaining that unity takes hard work. In our sinful nature, we are more comfortable with people who are like us. And so we need to continually be working to get outside of our comfort zone for the cause of unity. Can I encourage you to make it your aim in 2018 to get to church early? Not just turning up just on time. The reason that I'm asking you that is because that is a wonderful opportunity for you to be involved in this very thing of building Christ's church up. Instead of coming just to consume, we can come to serve. We can come to serve as we share a coffee with someone before the service and talk to them about how their week's been, encourage them in their walk with the Lord Jesus. See, it's a wonderful opportunity for every one of us to be involved in this very thing that Paul says is our priority. Why not hang around afterwards? Why not stay for lunch? Why not sit with someone who's not like you? Someone very different. Even if that's outside of your comfort zone. Because as we do those things, as we work hard on unity, that brings glory to Jesus. It displays the wonderful unity that only he can bring. It's up to the people of the church to be involved in what Jesus is doing to build the church. And so that means you. You're here this morning. That means you. If you're trusting the Lord Jesus, this is your job, not just mine. Let's work on unity. Let's speak the truth in love. We see that in verse 15. Can you see that in verse 15? Speaking the truth in love. We serve one another as we bring God's word into each other's life. As we see sin in someone and gently rebuke it. As we take time to encourage someone in their walk with Jesus. Let's make it a habit to speak the truth in love to each other. Works of service means working hard on unity. It means speaking the truth in love. And there are countless other ways which you can be involved in teaching God's word or allowing others to teach God's word, providing the structure that frees other people up to teach God's word. So cooking food enables us to stay around and to speak the truth in love to other people over a tasty meal. Putting out the chairs, serving coffee. It allows people to be comfortable and awake during the service. Looking after the kids allows people to concentrate during the sermon. Staying behind to hoover and move chairs really helps because it means that the elders, the pastors of the flock, can have pastoral conversations with the flock without having to worry about clearing up. Every area of service, however small it might seem, it plays a crucial role as we work together as one body to put Jesus on display, to grow up. Verse 16. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Each part. Every part of the body is involved. There is no Christian here this morning who should not be involved in some way in serving. So can I ask each of you at the beginning of a new year just to take some time to prayerfully consider how you should be serving the Lord Jesus in the coming year. And then please do come and talk to one of the elders because there's loads of ways that you can be involved. The end goal is that the body of Christ is built up, that we flourish in unity and maturity for the glory of Jesus. And this is how we're going to get there, as people teach and as people serve. It's very simple really, isn't it? But this is what the Bible says is our plan, our focus for the coming year. And as we close, can I just say, the one of the things that struck me is how important this is because of how awesome the church is. How incredible it is to be part of a local body of believers. You see, as I read through Ephesians this week, I saw that chapters 1 to 3, Paul has been giving us this breathtaking view of what God's people are like. He highlights just how special this body of people is. He describes how through the cross, we are brought near to God and brought near to each other. In fact, we're so intimately united to Christ and to his people that we're actually all part of this same body with Christ as the head. That radical unity in Jesus destroys barriers, even the Jew-Gentile divide. And that means there is no racial or social barrier represented here in this room that the cross of Jesus doesn't bridge. But here's the other remarkable thing, and this is what really took my breath away. Because Paul says that as God lives in and works through his united people, it displays his great wisdom to the authorities in the heavenly realms. What does that mean? It means that as the devil and his company watch on, as they see the local church united across diversity, that is proof to them that God knows what he's doing. Isn't that cool? As the devil looks down and sees us, Silver Street Community Church, united despite our differences, it proves to him that God is doing something remarkable amongst his people. It's really hard to overstate the importance of the local church like this one. How is God seen in the world today? How is God at work in the world today? First and foremost, through the local church, through Silver Street Community Church. God is seen and put on display. He is at work building his kingdom through the miraculous dynamics that can only be found in a local church like this one. See, that's why it matters that we meet together. That's why it matters that we serve alongside each other. That's why it matters that we identify with and commit to a local church. We can't be drifters. This is why it matters that church shoots right up to the top of our priority list in 2018. It's why it matters that we're a fit and functioning, healthy body, a body that's being built up. So very simply, my encouragement to us all on New Year's Eve 2017, as we look ahead to 2018, my encouragement to us all is this. Let's go to the gym together. Let's hit the gym. Let's work hard on unity and maturity. Let's grow to become one in Jesus, becoming like Jesus, as people teach and as people serve. That's what we're about this year. Let's pray, shall we? Father in heaven, we praise you for the Lord Jesus who came to break down the barriers. We thank you that through his cross, through his blood, we can draw near to you. And we praise you that we are not just individuals, but that you've put us in local churches. And we ask for your great blessing on this local church this year. Please, Father, would you continue to build your church? Please, would we know greater unity and maturity? Would we grow in strength? Would we grow in numbers? Please, would you help us to be those who serve alongside one another for the sake of your glorious name? Please, Lord, would 2018 be a year where Silver Street Community Church is built up as we go to this spiritual gym? We ask it for the sake and the name of Jesus. Amen.